Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The opportunity to acquire a player of Matthew Stafford's caliber.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Touchdown, LA!
Welcome to LA, Matthew Stafford.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And down goes Rodgers. Sacked by Davenport.
It's just one game. We've got 16 to go.
Today's guests. From NBC Sports, Peter King, Arizona Cardinals head coach, Cliff Kingsbury. Plus, your phone calls, Overreaction Monday, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the edition of the Rich Eisen Show. With 1 week in the books in the National Football League, the exception of tonight's Monday night football game between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Baltimore Ravens. I will be hosting the coverage of that on Westwood One tonight. If you're listening to this Rich Eisen Show on a Westwood One radio station, we'll be chatting again later on tonight. That's for darn sure. I will be doing the pregame and halftime of that. Peter King will be joining me on the halftime of that show. But before that, he will be joining us on this show at the top of hour number two to give us his thoughts on what went down on the first Sunday of the National Football League 2021 season. Good to see you, Christopher Brockman.
Great
How
to
are
see you?
You,
Rich. What's happening,
How
man?
How are you? Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo.
Good to see you, Rich.
And TJ Jefferson, my social media grandmaster.
Hey.
How are you, sir?
Well, Rich, I didn't have a football game yesterday, but I had a good baseball game that went on.
Oh, boy, he's talking Mets smack. You got to be kidding. Here's what I'm going to say
Nobody
about
cares.
That.
Exactly.
Thumbs down.
Hey, yeah. I got to hang my hat on something, guys.
Thumbs down. Hey. Thumbs down.
I got to hang my hat on something.
Whatever.
A game between two teams who can't win the World Series.
That's pretty much.
That's a bold statement.
I think he's spitting truth right there.
It's actually accurate.
Hey, the thumbs down will turn to be the catalyst for something great for the Mets.
Guy.
I know. What are you doing?
Look at this guy. You know what? His buddy Ashton drops his name on College Game Day, and now he comes in like he thinks he's going to control the rundown. Yeah. This guy right over there.
TJ, there was football yesterday, bro.
He's well aware of that.
My football was Thursday. That's when Varsity played. Varsity played on Thursday. All the JV played on Thursday.
Varsity took the L. Varsity took the L. 0-1.
Yeah. How about them Cowboys?
We're done with
Give us those push-ups.
Let's talk about the week one that we just saw on Sunday. And something I witnessed last night with my own two eyes, and Brockman witnessed with his own two eyes, and Mike Del Tufo witnessed with his own two eyes, and Adam Callscreener, who is Mike Del Tufo's plus one for the season opener at SoFi Stadium in 2021 last night on Sunday Night Football. Diehard Bears fan who might be calling into his own show. Don't take up too many phone lines that you're supposed to be answering, Adam, at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It was the first major maneuver of the 2021 calendar year in the National Football League on a roster. And that was the Rams all of a sudden acquiring Matthew Stafford from Detroit, being the ones to take Matthew Stafford out of Detroit after Matthew Stafford asked for his exit visas and was granted them by the Detroit Lions front office and ownership. And it was the Rams who did their usual less need aggressive maneuvering. We'll figure out the cap. We got it. We'll figure out what we're going to do. We got it. We'll figure out the X's and O's and the ramifications. We got it. We'll figure it out. But we see a player we want. We're going to go get him. Okay. Just like they did with Ramsey, Jalen Ramsey. They're like, we're in. We'll get him. All right. He's available from Jacksonville. We'll take him. Yeah, we'll send a whole bunch of picks. We'll figure that out later on down the line. How can we got third, fourth, fifth round picks still? Great. We'll turn that straw into gold. We got it. So they're the ones who sent Goff to Detroit with first-round picks, saying we'll take Matthew Stafford after a dozen years. And the conversation all offseason long, certainly here, certainly from this chair, was big move, game-changing move, potentially franchise-altering move. And the thing that really got me as the checkmark on that of believing in it was when I heard Kyle Shanahan was also grinding tape on him, that that could have been the first move for the 49ers to figure out what they're going to do with Jimmy G or post-Jimmy G, was to go ahead and get rid of Jimmy G potentially right on the spot, right on the spot, and go get Matthew Stafford. And his first game in Los Angeles, 321 yards, 20 of 26 throwing, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Distributing it all over the place and then going up top. Going up top to Cooper Kupp, going up top to Van Jefferson, going up top, throwing it in all different manners. Run game, check mark, Darrell Henderson, 70 rush yards, touchdown, also caught a ball. It was just spectacular. And I will say this, for the rest of the league coming through, there is a new jewel in the sports landscape. And it is called SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, California, just up the road from LAX, just across the street from NFL Network. I was not there in the 1970s when Don Rickles and Frank Sinatra were palling around with Jack Youngblood in the Coliseum. I was not there. I was not there when Vince Ferragamo was making it to the Super Bowl and then showing up on Hollywood Squares. I wasn't there. Okay. I would proffer to say this, even those old schoolers who were there in the L.A. Coliseum in the 70s. And I will definitely say this, because I wasn't there in Anaheim either when the Anaheim Rams were there before they moved to St. Louis. But in terms of the Los Angeles Rams, I've been there in the L.A. Coliseum when they came back, and I was there last night. I will proffer to say this, and I'll take phone calls at 844-204-RICH, number to dial, or those who might have been in the L.A. Coliseum in the 70s, the 60s, when the Four Horsemen were patrolling. I think last night was the greatest home field advantage the Los Angeles Rams have ever, ever enjoyed. That building is so deafening and so loud that even the small, when you're looking at the entire building, section of Bears fans that were in one end zone last night.
Oh, yeah.
They were extremely loud when the Bears did something positive, which didn't happen too much last night. We'll get to that in a second, but it did on occasion. That building is loud, and that building for a Super Bowl is going to be off the charts. And the Rams have gotten two major new additions. One is a franchise quarterback that appears to be the perfect vessel for their manic, brilliant 35-year-old head coach, 35.
Not that's so stupid.
In Sean McVay.
35.
Okay. Appears to be the perfect vessel for what McVay wants to do offensively.
Oh, yeah.
But the other that they've acquired is that building and the fans there. And the Who's House, Rams House, stuff, and that Oculus that's above the field, which is this oval, which is the scoreboard that gets people fired up. And you're looking at it, beware the rest of the NFL, where you've been in the Coliseum and you faced the Rams last couple years, and then now it's a different ball of wax. And look out for the Rams and the rest of the NFC West, which also won every single game, all three other ones on the road, including the Cardinals, who we'll get to not only in a moment, but later on in the show in Cliff Kingsbury. The Cardinals head coach joins us after their beatdown of the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee.
Beatdown.
Beatdown. Because in the same way that Stafford lived up to the hype, Julio Jones going to Tennessee, we're, you know, we'll see eventually. But yesterday was just
I think Chandler Jones just had another sack of Ryan Tannehill, like just now.
And something we'll talk about over the 3 hours of this show. But I do want to talk to you about the Bears. Because Justin Fields came in last night and scored a touchdown. First touchdown of the season for the Chicago Bears, as a matter of fact. Put in the end zone. Actually, he put in the end zone after Montgomery did, who's terrific. This kid, David Montgomery, is a spectacular running back, and he could be a difference maker at the position. He showed it last night when he ripped off a 40-yarder when the building was going totally crazy. I was talking about this home field advantage in SoFi Stadium. Montgomery ripped one off, and he was running it at will against Aaron Donald and the rest of that defensive front last night, at will. And I can only imagine if Justin Fields has that ball in his hands and you don't know if it's him or Montgomery that has it, that would be a particular weapon at the Bears' disposal that could come in much demand, certainly when they've got an offensive line that can't pass protect. And I know that's the reason why I think Matt Nagy is not putting Justin Fields out there just yet. But as I told him, Matt Nagy himself, that when he came on the show, after drafting Justin Fields, I told him he's not going to have the time to sit him all season long. I told him his plan was, we're going to do what I saw Andy Reid do with Patrick Mahomes, which is sit him all season long and then play him and maybe towards the end of the season. Let's get him up to speed. I told him on the spot, I don't think you're going to have that luxury. And sure enough, Nagy wisely put Fields in the game in week one. A little bit of a care package. I guess that's the new thing to do. Right, you're either going to throw your kid in the deep end of the pool immediately, or you're going to have a little care package, which is we're going to take care of our guy, and we're going to make sure we physically take care of our guy by not throwing him out there. And the reason why we can do that with a care package for the kid is because we've got a veteran quarterback who can handle the rest and keep us on the tracks towards the Super Bowl, like the 49ers are clearly doing with Jimmy G and Trey Lance, who scored the first touchdown for the 49ers this year, a touchdown pass. Interestingly enough, we threw it to a kid named Trent Sherfield, not Brandon Ayuk, who appears to be in a doghouse there in San Francisco.
Yep.
But as for Fields, he's out there in a care package. He scores a touchdown on the ground. And then Dalton takes care of the rest. Except the rest last night was rest in peace because of some odd combination of going away from the run after it was clearly working in the first half and then going for it on fourth downs instead of trying long field goals or living for another day. And put it all together, Dalton standing behind that offensive line as a sitting duck if he's not playing a quick game. And they were trying to do the quick game, but then if you're going for it on fourth and 15 in second half, there's no quick game. And rainbow passes trying to get the ball to the line to gain, which is the phrase that pays in many broadcasts, you're going to lose. Here's Matt Nagy after the game talking about his quarterback situation moving forward.
I think that for him, the times that he got in there, that he did well, and you know, being his first game, and Andy did a good job too of helping extend some of those drives and us going through that whole deal of how it's going to go. But we'll continue to keep growing with that stuff and see what we want to do with that. But in the end, I thought, and again, I go back to that touchdown run. I mean, Justin did a great job, and then early in the game on the first throw too, you know. So the film, going back and just watching the film in general, regardless of Justin or Andy, just in general to see where we were, I thought we got the run game going pretty good, which was good. But we got to use this to grow, and we got to stay positive.
Here's the issue with staying positive. It's a long way to next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what the phone lines are going to be like in the 24/7, 365 shows that I'm sure Bears players drive around in cars and hear? It's going to be an ugly couple of days. But we saw this one coming. We saw it coming in the Rams' house the opening night. That were my lock of the week, the Rams. I saw it coming. We all saw it coming. That this line that is definitely deficient with Dalton behind it was going to be a difficult slog for the Bears, and they lost by 20. Now, here's what Matt Nagy really wants to say. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo. Get it, please.
What were they really thinking?
Here's what Matt Nagy wants to say. I see the line out in front of him. I don't want to get the kid killed. I don't want to get the kid killed. You don't think I hear the howling? You don't think I hear, you know, Bob from Winnetka? You're on the air? First-time caller from Winnetka and Wheeling? Schomburg? And the Chicagoland guys going nuts? Of course he hears them. And he also knows that when it all comes down to it, if he doesn't play the kid, eventually the McCaskey family will look around and say, should we get someone to play the kid? Aren't there enough people out there who would play the kid? They're going to play this kid. Now, this week against the Bengals, maybe you use the Andy Dalton, fire and the revenge game.
Come on. Yeah.
I don't know, man. Because here comes Burrow and Jamar Chase, who suddenly is not dropping anything except touchdowns on the opponent.
Oof. Catch it.
100-yard game he dropped. Not a ball. He dropped a 100-yard game on the Vikings. They're coming. And if the Bengals, I'll tell you this. Make sure I get this right, because I like to be accurate here. Oh, yeah. If the Bengals stroll in a Soldier Field and win that game against Andy Dalton, and Justin Fields' care package is not frequent or successful enough, you're going to have to start the kid. And guess who he's going to have to start against? The Cleveland Browns, who I understand lost the game late in Kansas City. But they showed everybody.
They're still the Browns?
Yes, no.
I mean,
that's wrong,
what
Chris.
What do you mean? They were up 22-10. They should have won the game.
I know what you should do, and what you can't sometimes do is stop Mahomes, which, by the way, the rest of the league kind of has a problem doing, certainly when one of your defensive players gets the gate because he shoves a coach.
That was
early on in the game.
That was a terrible call.
We'll talk about that later on, too. But I'm not going to sit here and say the Browns were the Browns. I'm just not going to do it. You can keep on hammering that point.
Your eyes did not deceive you yesterday.
Chris, you're acting like something weird happened. Like, I don't know, the punter dropped the ball or something and had a turnover. You're acting like something weird happened with the Browns like that.
Uh-huh. You know, you can't lose that game when you're dominating for three quarters.
But you also, for my point here at the very least, is that's Garrett. That's Clowney.
Well, yes.
That's the rest of the defense. And if you're concerned about protecting your kid, you're walking into a situation where he has not enough experience to go against those guys. And then you're going to start him. Right. And then what? Against a line that potentially is more banged up than they were in week one. Zach Wilson said, after losing to the Panthers, that he feels like a truck hit him.
Yeah.
Is what he said.
He was running for his life, too.
He was, but the Jets threw him out there. Now, they've got no other choice, but they threw him out there. Trevor Lawrence had the worst football day of his life yesterday.
And it was still pretty
and
impressive.
And I have not been around the rest of his football life days, but you can basically say it was one of the worst days of it. It was his worst day of his football life, and maybe even Urban Meyer's, too. But they went through it, and they're going to learn from it. And Justin Fields is losing that time right now. You can't get that back from last night. You can't. Did he learn something watching it? Maybe he did. Maybe he did. But the 2021 Bears, roster, circumstances, fan base, attitude of the fan base is not the same as the 2017 Kansas City Chief fan base. One fan base that watched Alex Smith do all of this stuff and then watched him do it again when you drafted a kid and everyone's like, okay, we get it. We get it that you're sitting the kid and then letting him wet his beak a little bit. One size does not fit all. And the Chicago Bears, you got to play the kid. And I don't care if the line's banged up. I don't care. Get him up to speed. Let him learn. I think that is eventually going to be the inevitable staring Matt Nagy in the face reality. We'll take a break, and when we come back, I've got three of the most impressive wins of week one. I know I'm going to leave somebody out, but I'll walk you through them. The NFC West has proven to be the deep end of the pool that we thought it would be. Obviously, there were some disappointing performances. We'll talk about them. I want you to talk about them with us as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. That's how we're rolling here on the first Monday after the first Sunday of 2021. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial film debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Streaming right now on Netflix. So much made of your LASIK surgery, Jameis. Do you think that your eyesight had something to do with your turnover rate last year? I mean, I'll just go straight forward. No. I mean, that's what people are kind of putting them together here.
Yeah, I can't say I'm not making excuses. But I am going to get better. But I'm not going to make an excuse. I can say that the LASIK has definitely helped my vision and my accuracy. I didn't have my eyes my whole life. Now I got better eyes.
Well, I mean, no. So did you wear contacts during games? Is that what you?
So I tried for 1 year. I think it was my third year, and it just didn't work, man. I don't really blink much. They were falling out. Like, they were uncomfortable. I just, like, I gotta get LASIK. Like, it's anything that can help my game, to help me see more precise. Like, I was naive to the fact, because I was like, hey, I've had these eyes my whole life. You know, they didn't bother me this far.
Right.
But after just doing the research, why would I not? You know, why would I not try to get to have the best vision that I possibly can have?
So yeah, I'm married to a woman. My wife had LASIK surgery after wearing contacts and glasses her whole life. I remember the day after she had it, she woke up looking out the window from our bed. She could see like trees in focused through the window. I'm serious. I'm not being facetious. Yeah. Like, it was completely eye opening, to use the phrase. So do you think that you'll be able to read defenses better with having not had any contacts last year and now having LASIK surgery now? Do you think you will actually be an improved quarterback because of it?
I think that it can help certain parts of my game in terms of IDing coverage and trusting my eyes a little bit more, because I would be able to see a clearer picture. Mm-hmm. Quarterback has so much with getting pre-snap reads and, you know, finding your post-snap answer, but your vision and how quick you process information and how fast your eyes get to where they should go next is very important. So being able to see a clearer picture and get a fuller picture will definitely be helpful. But I got the same story as your wife.
Like, yeah.
Me and my wife, we were in Starbucks getting some of those egg white eggs things.
Sure.
And I looked out the window and I could see gnats. like during the daytime, like I saw gnats flying. I asked my wife, I said, can you see those gnats? And she's like, I can't see those gnats. I was like, yeah, well, I got late there. I can see gnats.
Look at you now. Look at you. You're spotting bugs now. You're spotting bugs, Jameis.
You know, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Hey,
if you could spot gnats now, you could definitely see where the safety is a little bit better. I'm sure of that. Five touchdowns for Jameis in his Saints debut. Five.
Yes.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your phone calls in a moment right here. We just showed to our Peacock audience a conversation we had with Jameis Winston last spring, or two springs ago, right? It was in 2020. Mm-hmm. And it was when he had signed with the Saints. He finally landed. He landed with the Saints as a backup. And the jokes that were flying, because he had just gotten LASIK surgery.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, well, oh, that's why he threw all those interceptions.
Couldn't see.
And I said to him, you know, let's be honest, like how bad was it? Like, and he was saying it was difficult. Like, he's not using it as an excuse that he would wear contacts, but sometimes it would be difficult for him to see everything. And I told him about how, you know, Susie had gotten LASIK surgery and she woke up the next day and she's just like seeing out the window trees that were always blurry when she woke up before putting her glasses on. Mm-hmm. And that she could see him plain as day. And it was like, whoa. And he said that he had the same experience, that he and his wife were going to Starbucks and they could see gnats flying around. He could see gnats for the first time. And, you know, well, we see gnats here in the studio every day. Yeah. But so he said, you know, that this was a difference maker, potentially. He wasn't using that as an excuse. Well, he didn't play last year very much. And he had, like, you know, a couple of snaps. That's it. And so yesterday was the first post-LASIK Jameis Winston. Really was. It was a start. And not just any start. Not just any start, but a start for the New Orleans Saints. The first week one start for the New Orleans Saints after Drew Brees. Go figure that, when Jameis Winston was drafted first overall by the Bucs, and Lovie Smith, by the way, before the Titans drafted Marcus Mariota. If I had told anybody that draft night, that's going to be the guy who's the first starter for the New Orleans Saints once Drew Brees hangs it up, you'd be like, what?
I'd be a rich guy today.
What? And yet that happened. And in not just any place either. On the road. But a home game.
Yeah.
Which was wild. Wild to see the Saints logo in the middle of the field in Jacksonville, Florida, with the Saints team name painted in both end zones. Wild and weird. And this is a team that has been practicing in Dallas for 2 weeks, and then also in TCU, and has been displaced due to Hurricane Ida, right? Displaced. And not only displaced due to Hurricane Ida, so are their families. I mean, talk about being totally up in the air and not knowing which way is up. And bless Sean Payton and the rest of that team to pull it together, place whatever distraction that could be aside, and use it as a bludgeon against the Green Bay Packers on behalf of all the people who in the real world, in real life, are dealing with far worse distractions than just being a National Football League player on the road, practicing away from home, and then playing a home game away from home. Oh, man, was that the most impressive win for me in week one Sunday. That the Saints, first game without Drew Brees, is on the road, yet it's a home game. And it's the Green Bay Packers showing up into town with Aaron Rodgers and all those Super Bowl hopes. This was Jameis Winston after the game.
That was for the city, you know, so shout out to the city of New Orleans. You know, we did that for them. We knew how much it would mean to get a great victory for that reason. They've been through so much. And for us to be able to celebrate this victory with them, it's just hats off to them for their resilience, right? Because they motivated us. They inspired us to come out there and ball.
Jameis Winston all grown up, and he's grown up, and he's grown up. Who is that guy?
Who that?
Standing there talking about his new city and representing them after dropping 5 touchdowns on the Green Bay Packers and a home game on the road. You go, Jameis Winston. You make the most of this opportunity. How many people sit there and think this is it's him babysitting for the next guy right now before Sean Payton decides, yeah, he's not my guy? Everybody? A lot of people?
Well, I was wondering just how good the Saints would have been last year if Jameis was playing.
Well, so does Anthony Mackie, the actor who came on the show after they lost to the Bucs in a playoff, saying, you know, let's get Jameis and his arm in there.
Yeah.
And you know what? We just fell into the trap, which the Saints love. They love it. They love it. And I'm sure deep down, Sean Payton loves it too. Because they, how many times have I said it? And they proved it again yesterday. They, the New Orleans Saints, are a defensive team in offensive guru clothing. They're a defensive team first, man. They are. Sean Payton loves offense. He's an offensive guy. He got hooked up to Drew Brees. The two of them are stuff of legends.
Made magic.
Quarterback, coach combinations, all-time greats. You got to put Payton and Brees in there. Brees is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Sean Payton has a resume that is in this league right now, second to none. A trophy in a case, potentially more trophies to come. I understand what happened with, you know, the bounty gate and all that stuff that might ever keep him out of the hall one day if he does get enough. I'm serious, man. But what he did yesterday is stuff that this is one on the resume for him. And also, the defense. I just talked all about the offense right there and what Jameis did, because I think of who he is and the fact that Brees isn't there right now. This defense yesterday, 229 total yards, 3 takeaways, 2 sacks. They got Jordan Love in the game.
Oh, yeah.
For the final 11 minutes. If I had told you that one quarterback would throw for 133 yards and 2 interceptions, and one quarterback would throw for 5 touchdowns and 0 interceptions going into the game, it would obviously be Rodgers with the good stats and Jameis with the bad stats. And then if I had thrown in on top of it, Jordan Love's going to play the last 11 minutes of the game, it'll be like, yeah, let's get him in there and let's get him his first ever NFL action, because it's a blowout.
Yeah.
Well, it was a blowout.
Yeah.
It was a blowout.
It had to be the most surprising outcome of any game of the week.
It was the most impressive win of Sunday.
It was nuts. Yeah. Ruined everyone's teaser.
The most impressive win of Sunday, and I'll talk about the Packers' ramifications later on. But I want to get to the other good stuff, more glass half full. I got 2 more to go to. Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh Steelers, the AFC shrug emoji team of 2021, as I've been calling them for weeks.
A lot of tweets about that yesterday.
Shrug emoji team of 2021. We have no idea. Are they going to be the 11-win team from last year that... Or at least the first 11 wins of the season, the last undefeated remaining team from last year went 11-0 to start the season. Are they going to be the 1-4 team that finished the season, regular season, then got bounced and spanked out of the playoffs by the Browns? They could be either one. Shrug emoji. No idea. Well, they showed up in Western New York yesterday in one of those defensive slobber knockers. It was not pretty offensively at all. And they came out with the W. And Josh Allen threw it 51 times. He lost a fumble. Sure, he ran it 44 yards. I mean, those are Josh Allen numbers, with the exception of 270 yards, not the game on tilt, just only one touchdown. 16 points given up. He targeted Diggs 14 times. Diggs only 69 yards receiving. The running game was once again, you know, iffy when it needed to be leaned on for balance. Singletary had a decent game. Zach Moss, a shocking healthy scratch, it appeared. He didn't play. And the Steelers' defense, man. Even with T.J. Watt signed at the last minute and Devin Bush hurt, from last year. Boy, do they come in and they do that thing. Najee Harris held to less than 50 yards rushing, right?
Mm-hmm. 45.
So they wasn't even off the charts. That he did just enough. One of those Steelers wins, like, how the hell did he do that? Well, they did it.
Defense.
They did it with defense. They kept the Bills off balance. And this is going to be a nice tiebreaker to have in their back pocket. May not need it. May not need it. But it's going to be one of those nice tiebreakers to have in their pocket for the next 17 weeks. Lay it on the table next January. Guess who's got to come to Pittsburgh instead of us having to go back to Western New York? Pittsburgh Steelers have that tiebreak in their back pocket because that just reeked of a divisional playoff battle, just hitting with haymakers and then one score feeling like it's nine scores. Like, how are you going to make up that score that you just gave up? That sort of feel to it. And if that thing's near the next to the confluence as opposed to Western New York, that could be all the difference. We're wondering, who are the Steelers? They're 1-0. And the Bills? There's 17 more weeks to go. You know, it's just 1 week. We'll have overreaction Monday later on. But that was not picking up where they left off. That is for sure. Not a pick up where they left off situation. And the Steelers just turned a page. And had a very difficult week one challenge. And they passed that audition. Nice, impressive win there. And then the Arizona Cardinals are another team that impressed the hell out of me. Kyler Murray and Chandler Jones became the first team duo with five or more offensive touchdowns. Murray had four in the air, one on the ground, and five or more sacks in a single game. It's never happened since we started recording the stat of sacks in 1982. We've never seen it. Oh, and Chandler Jones tossed two forced fumbles on top of it. J.J. Watt on that line now. First time DeAndre Hopkins had multiple receiving touchdowns in a game for the Arizona Cardinals.
Let's go.
He had six of them when he was with the Texans. That was his first with the Cardinals. Oh, and Christian Kirk had one too. First time in Cardinals franchise history where multiple wide receivers each had multiple receiving touchdown games. Chase Edmonds, how's the running back situation going to be now, right? Kenyon Drake's gone. What's that going to look like with Chase Edmonds in the lead role? 16 touches, 106 scrimmage yards, third most scrimmage yards in a game in his career. Check that box. All in Tennessee. All in Tennessee. Where they looked like they need to go back to the offensive coordinator drawing board and see what they could do scheme-wise to figure something out. Arthur Smith's gone. It just looked completely off balance. Obviously, an off game for Tannehill, who was hectored. You know, our boy Taylor Lewan tweeted out that it was a bad game. He owned it. Couldn't protect him. 58 rush yards for Derrick Henry. Second fewest in the game since 2020. Eric Dickerson, wherever he's sitting right now, laughing at me, saying that he's going to get his speech ready about, it's an asterisk. Whatever it is, it's an asterisk. 56 out of the gate, 58 out of the gate for 22. Going to need to make up for that one with a nice 300-yarder against Jacksonville. Yeah. That's coming.
Could happen.
Because Tyrod Taylor just scored on them. And I know I could include the Texans here for most impressive win of week one because we did not see them winning at all.
Nope.
We did not see the Texans winning at all, let alone as we sit here talking about the Cardinals, Saints, and Steelers having the most impressive wins in week one. Houston Texans have a one-game lead in the AFC South over everybody else.
Think about it.
Because everybody else lost, and they with Tyrod Taylor and David Johnson Mark and Ingram. Brandon Cooks, yeah. You know, like the island of lost football players.
Nice.
All together, teaching Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence what the NFL stands for on occasion.
Just want to point out, Ridge, last year, you know who else was 1-0?
Jacksonville Jaguars. They lost the rest. Yeah. I get it. So. This is why you're going to have an overreaction Monday segment. I'm just talking about in a box, most impressive week one moments. I'm not looking over the steering wheel here. I'm talking about the here and now.
Here and now.
Take a snapshot of it. AFC South standings. Colts 0-1. Titans 0-1. Jaguars 0-1. David Culley's. Yeah. Scratching Deshaun Watson, yeah. Houston Texans.
Deshaun who?
Are 1-0. How about them apples? When we come back, the deep end of the pool in the National Football League. I've been talking about this division for months and over span of years. And they proved it in week number one. We'll hit that in your phone calls at 844-204-RICH when we come back. Let's talk Game Time. Boy, do we love using Game Time tickets at the Rich Eisen Show. And every single time I've been watching the basketball playoffs on TV, I've been wondering what it would be like to be at these games. And when you choose your tickets on Game Time, you can see the view from your seat, where the court is, where you are in relation to it. And then the all-in prices, that's my favorite feature. The all-in prices makes sure that you see the lowest price guarantee and also know exactly how much everything costs all in before you purchase. So all the guesswork is removed when you buy playoff tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
The way you envision the rest of the season going out, Russell, what would it mean to you to win an MVP award? What would it mean to you? I know you're Hawks. I know you're about the team, but what would it mean to you, do you think, for something?
Well, I think anytime anybody wins an MVP, the first thing that I think about is that means that team's winning. Right? That means that team's doing a great job of winning and doing everything you can. I think also, too, you know, that's my number one objective, is to be the greatest winner of all time and try to win as many games as possible in the Super Bowls, too. And so, you know, that's, you know, if I'm playing my best, I think we got a really great chance of, you know, doing something special this year. And I think, you know, the rest of the guys, too. And so it's a team effort. This game is so special because it's such a team effort. Everybody making their plays. Guys like David Moore making that amazing catch in the corner and, you know, tiptoeing in the sideline, moonwalking into the pylon. That was just, you know, those are the kind of efforts and team moments that allow players to do special things. And I think, you know, I got to credit my teammates on that. I think more than anything else, though, you know, for me, what it means is just that, you know, all the off-season work, all the training, all the time that you spend, all the focus, all the hours upon hours, all the flights that, you know, and things that you've done just to, you know, sit down one-on-one with somebody and talk to them about, you know, the game of football and, you know, and just spend some quality time with people. I think that's where those moments really show up. But I think that all that hard work and all the time trying to throw in a bucket when you're a young kid, you know, it all makes a difference. I think more importantly, though, is I want to win this week, you know, and take it on, you know, and just stay focused and do that. I know that's what it takes to be great, is to stay in the moment, stay neutral, not to get too high. You know, I have high expectations, so I already know what those expectations are. So it's nothing new. I just got to stay neutral and stay in the moment.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on. Oh, last quick one before I let you go. Please tell me somebody in your team, the Russell Wilson team, is working on a cooking show called Let Russ Go. This is happening, right?
Where you're cooking. I think somebody's working on a cookbook somewhere. I don't know where it is. I don't know who it is, but somebody on our team is internally working on a cookbook.
Exactly. I mean, it's made for it. Let Russ cook. Like,
this is what you're doing. So it's got to happen.
That was Russell during last year's regular season. We roll that way all the time right here on the Rich Eisen Show, certainly during the football season, best we can, get as best we can with the guest list. Peter King and Cliff Kingsbury of NBC Sports and the Arizona Cardinals coaching staff will be joining us later on this program. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Go ahead and subscribe. We'd greatly appreciate it. It's a great way to catch up on not just what's going on here every day, but our great vast archive. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ken in Kokomo, Indiana, is going to join us in a second. Before we pop him up there, just to front load it, Ian Rappaport, my colleague from the NFL Media Group, reporting that the Washington football team is putting Ryan Fitzpatrick on injured reserve for the moment. He suffered a hip injury that knocked him out of yesterday's loss to the Chargers. No indication yet that it is season ending. It's called a hip subluxation, which sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I am not a doctor. I do not play one on TV. That's the same injury as Tua, by the way. I remember that was a name that was thrown around. I don't know if it requires surgery or what have you, but it's Taylor Heineke's show for the moment on Thursday night. That's for sure, because it's a short week for the Washington football team taking on the New York football Giants for the right to stay out of the 0-2 hole to start the 2021 season. That's in FedEx Field coming up on Thursday. Ken in Kokomo, that's your nice set the floor up for you. What's up, sir?
Thanks for taking the call, Rich. I appreciate it.
Thanks for making it.
In light of that, does Cam Newton's phone ring?
Great question. I'm going to ask that of Peter King. I just don't know if they're running the same darn thing that they ran in Carolina. I don't know the answer to that. I would imagine it's got to be something similar.
There are coaches from Carolina on the Washington staff. Yeah,
right. I do believe so. I do think that there is some, you know, connection there. But I also don't know if, you know, when they left Carolina, they'd be like, "That's cool," you know, we're starting something new. I don't know the answer to that. I will ask that of Peter King. I've got one question for you before I go. Do you guys all sing Kokomo in Kokomo, Indiana? Are you required to do that, or are you sick of it?
Pretty much sick of it.
Okay.
As I understand, the Kokomo that the Beach Boys sang about was a beach in Florida Keys.
Yes, sir.
There actually was an old song back in the 30s and 40s called Kokomo, Indiana, in a show called Mother Wore Tights. Look that one up.
Okay, thank you. We'll Google that. Thank you for that call. What a fascinating exchange that was. He asked me about camp. I asked him about the Beach Boys. That's the way we roll. It's called interactivity. That's why I do a show like this. Instead of, you know, on Sundays, I just say, Irv, you want to talk about the Cowboys? You know, and here I get to say things to Ken and Kokomo, which I love.
It's a beautiful thing.
I love both.
You get there faster.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Brockman singing karaoke about it. No, stop. I do not want to put that song in everybody's head, although I think it's too late.
Yeah, it's done.
Way down and go.
Another reason why I do a show like this is because
we can sing karaoke.
Well, there's yes,
drink on occasion.
Yes, when my wife sits in. We could literally spend the next
just
2 hours rattling off reasons why I love doing a show like this.
Take it to the cocoa.
But you have not hit on the head here.
Oh, got it.
Okay, it's the opportunity to provide myself of a show with my name on it.
Uh-huh. And a logo.
It's an opportunity for me to have an echo chamber when I say something that's proven correct. At home, I don't have that. Even when I am right, they're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Get out of here.
Move on.
Get out of here.
Nothing to see.
But between the hours of 12 and 3 Eastern or locally here, 9 a.m. to noon, when I'm right, I get to talk about it.
We respect you here, Rich.
This is great.
Nobody cares about him.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Oliphant. And I get to speak to people like Timothy Oliphant. Okay? But I do believe when he said nobody cares about him, he was referring to you, Chris. I think that was what he was referring to.
One of us. I'm sure.
What are you smoking, bro? Give me some.
Thank you.
Hey.
When I'm right, I get to talk about it. NFC West, deep end of the pool, deepest end of the National Football League pool. Well, Rich, that's such a thick limb for you to go on. Well, I mean, not all four of them made the playoffs last year, right? Deep end of the pool, Deepest in, oh, yeah, you talk about the Rams, Rich, all you want. It's still Matthew Stafford. He's still the Lions in Rams clothing. An actual sheep, right? Technically, a ram.
Technically.
I don't know about much farming. I'm from New York City. What am I talking about? Deepest end of the pool, people.
They have farms in Staten Island?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Deepest end of the pool. Every team 1-0 right now. 49ers held on for dear life against former Ram, current Lion, Jared Goff. That got a little bit too close for comfort.
Man.
But they showed up, and bottom line is this. 49ers will prove to you all the time they've got more running backs you've never heard of that can stomp your guts right out right? than anybody else.
Who is Elijah Mitchell? Like, who is this guy?
Waiver wire darling of week one or week two. You can make bet on that.
He'll be number one.
He's still even available in your schmecky 14-team league.
No, there's no chance.
Debo Samuel coming at you with a buck 89.
Debo!
Trey Lance, don't know what he's going to do when he gets in, but he's going to get in. Jimmy G doing Jimmy G things, like throwing for 300 yards and also, you know, fumbling. Defense doing the defense things, too.
Rich, Dan Campbell was right, though. They're going to bite you.
They're going to bite your kneecap. Well, I'll tell you. Here's the Pyrrhic. You know the Pyrrhic victory thing. The moral victory thing, the silver lining, former Silver Dome team. Hey, man, we didn't give up. We were down by 28. We just gave it up. Okay, great.
I mean, there is something to be said about that.
There is something to be said about it for the moment, though.
We'll move on.
They lost to a team that's going to be difficult to reckon with. And the Seahawks go in to Indianapolis. They did their thing. Carson Wentz was doing his thing, which is a couple touchdowns. Took some sacks he shouldn't have and fumbled. And we'll see what goes on after week one. But Seattle, 4 touchdowns for Russ. He did some Russell Wilson things, 4 touchdowns, then 3 sacks.
Yeah.
Who's that on? Whose fault was that? But 2 for Lockett, 1 for DK.
Yeah.
And the second highest single game passer rating of Russell Wilson's career. We got the Cardinals coming up. We talked about the Rams already. Cardinals coming up. Head coach Cliff Kingsbury joining us an hour. Number 3, deepest end of the pool. You don't want any piece of that. And Pete's already in postseason mode, man. He's chomping gum around what Jim Brockmeyer called him, the world's oldest teenager, right? Is that what he called him?
Now that Dick Clark is no longer with us.
That's right. I forget that caveat. Yeah. Now that Dick Clark. But Pete, remember we had Pete on in the summer, and he's kind of like, I thought we already handled this thing about me and Russ being on bad terms. What's going on here? I'm like, but we haven't talked. You and I haven't talked yet.
He called it old news.
I'm like, but we haven't talked about it yet. Then he allowed another follow-up question on it.
We have.
But Pete's just like, Pete's like, I got a trophy in a case. I could add 2. And I just keep on winning up here. That's all I'm doing. When everybody thought I was just going to be a guy from USC, everybody forgets. I was a coach before. I was a coordinator before. I've been around this league for, ever.
Long time.
So here he was yesterday talking about Russ and the offense. And I don't know who he's actually referring to that Russ was. Well, you'll hear how he's referring to what Russ was doing with this guy. But this is great.
Day to me, it really goes to Shane. I think his first time out and a chance to show it I'm really, really proud of what he was able to do because he went for it the whole time. And we did exactly how we've been practicing and how we've been preparing. And he handled it with such a cool overall mentality and all. And he and Russ were just cooking. And so, I'm sorry I said that. Can you scratch that? Doggone it. They did really well together. Shoot, that's out there. Dang it. I don't ever think I ever said that one time all that last year.
Now, that sounds to me a little bit not off the cuff. That sounds to me, and again, sounds to me like I think he was talking about the new offensive coordinator. If not, I don't know, but it sounds to me like he was planning on, I'm going to say that they were cooking together and then stop myself.
I can't believe I said that. I didn't say that all last year. Come on now.
Here's why. This is why Pete chafes at the whole let Russ cook thing. Because the implication is who's the one, when you say let Russ cook, just let him cook, who's the one who's turning the gas off in the kitchen?
Who's not letting him?
Pete Carroll.
Hey, you know what, Russ? Let's get takeout. You don't need to cook. Tonight.
He's the one that's not letting Russ cook. He hates it. And all he's probably thinking in the back of his head is, who was the one who gave him the chef's hat and the kitchen and the utensils and the menu and the recipes in the first place? After we just signed Matt Flynn. Don't forget him.
And they had Tavares Jackson.
Yes. Who's the one who drafted him and said he's practicing well? Always compete. That's my mantra. And then backing it up by putting a rookie in there from jump. So I'm the one who's not letting Russ go. Russ wouldn't be cooking at a kitchen in the Pacific Northwest if it wasn't for me. I love Pete Carroll, man. Pure, pure, pure. Deepest end of the pool, the NFC West. It's going to be great this year. Peter King coming up. You know what I mean? I just keep thinking that. Every single time he hears let Russ cook, he's probably like,
what? I'm trying.
Let me give everyone a little history lesson. Can we play that soundbite one more time, Hoskins? Because does it sound to you like he was like, I'm going to go out there at some point. I'll get asked a question about the new offense. And boy, they really were doing great together because they come out with a win in the East Coast time zone again in a tough spot where all the Indianapolis fans are showing up at a sellout for the first time in 2 years, all wearing their Jeff Saturday jerseys, you know. And we come away with the win. And I know they're going to talk about it. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to talk about how they were cooking and then stop myself. That's what the give a look. Listen.
The day to me is really goes to Shane. I think his first time out and a chance to show it.
Shane.
And
he's talking about the OC.
I'm really, really proud of what he was able to do because he went for it the whole time. And we did exactly how we've been practicing and how we've been preparing. He handled it with such a cool overall mentality and all. And he and Russ were just cooking. And so, I'm sorry I said that. Can you scratch that? Doggone it. They did really well together. Shoot, that's out there. Dang it. I don't ever think I ever said that one time all that last year.
Shoot, that's out there, he says.
Yeah, that's totally totally rehearsed.
It sure does.
It looks rehearsed, man.
I don't blame him. I don't blame him. Let Russ cook. Let Russ cook. Because he's so held back, this guy who's on a Hall of Fame trajectory, who got the opportunity to start in the perfect spot. Because he got a coach who was going to say, okay, I know my owner I told him, let's go ahead and sign this guy free agent. And we just drafted him. We're going to sit the other guy. All that money's going to go down the tubes. I'm the guy who's not letting Russ cook. Is that what I'm going to understand? So I understand when they say let Russ cook, I'm to understand the guy who gave him the shot to be Russell Wilson here in Seattle. I'm the guy who's not letting him cook. Is that what I'm to understand? This is like, oh, dang it. Now it's out there.
Yeah, that whole part was like, shoot.
I think he gave the ghost away there. But you go, Pete Carroll. You keep doing it. Oh, I love the NFC West. It's going to be great when they start playing each other.